It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about
Howard
Lutnick.
I have met with Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did not.
Howard Lutnick was
using
money.
If you have an email with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White. And she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know, but what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. Glad everybody is here with us on day, what is it, five of Operation F Everything Up, AIPAC Fury, Operation Epstein's Revenge. It continues to spiral out of control and not get any better, or really even any hints that it's going to get better anytime soon. It continues to be a complete and utter debacle, which is having major, major impact on American politics, geopolitics, the world over. We'll give you all the latest where we think this is going and what we think the trajectory of this conflict is. It's really just getting worse. I wish I had better news to tell you, but no, the people doing this are doubling down, tripling down, and there's absolutely no end in sight. We have, of course, domestic politics to cover as well, with the results of some of the primary elections yesterday, as well as, of course, the other news that has all been boxed out of coverage over the last 5 days by the Iran war, including the Epstein file revelations, as well as just the ongoing and continuous simmer, the slow boil, the frogs being cooked in the pot of global biometric surveillance. We'll cover all of that today as well. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2026. Hegseth says U.S. is, quote, accelerating war on Iran, but strike at Turkey will not trigger NATO. Hegseth says, quote, they are toast, and claimed the campaign in Iran will give America complete control of Iranian skies within a week. Iranian ballistic missile strikes and drone attacks are down sharply, the Pentagon said. The U.S. war effort against Iran was accelerating as American and Israeli forces fought for control of Iranian airspace and pressed further inland to seek and destroy Iranian missile capabilities, top U.S. officials said Wednesday. 4 days in, we've only just begun to fight, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said. The throttle is coming up, said General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. However, a reported Iranian missile strike at NATO member Turkey, intercepted by NATO defense systems, was not expected to immediately broaden the war theater by triggering a NATO clause requiring other member nations to get involved in a conflict in which one of the member nations is attacked. You know, what we're learning, what's being reemphasized over the last couple years, is this entire concept of international agreements, red lines, alliances, international law, the international rules-based order. It's all a little bit arbitrary. Or rather, it's all completely and utterly arbitrary. It doesn't actually mean anything at all. I'll tell you about it later. I mean, Friedrich Merz, the Chancellor of Germany, straight up is saying, quote, Iran doesn't deserve the protection of international law. Then what is the point of law? If law doesn't apply to everybody equally, it's not law at that point. It's just arbitrary demands from a stronger force to a weaker one. That's not law. That's something else entirely.
And NATO in the Article 5 is kind of similar, right? It's supposed to be almost this robotic, algorithmic type response. One of the NATO members gets attacked aggressively on purpose by a non-NATO member. Shouldn't even be a question. It should be automatic. Automatically, Article 5 is invoked, and all of the other NATO members are obliged to come to that First Nations response. But if it's Ukraine bombing Poland to try to do a false flag to blame on Russia, yeah, okay, Poland's a NATO member, Ukraine isn't. Technically, it should trip Article 5, but we're just not going to do that. And in this case, Iran, not a member of NATO. Turkey is a member of NATO. Iran attacked NATO. But, you know, is it really something we're going to pay attention to or do anything about? I'm glad they're not. Like, I don't want all of NATO to get into war with Iran. I mean, the whole thing kind of exposes how ridiculous the concept of NATO is. What type of alliance has the UK and France and Germany and Turkey, but not Iran? I mean, Turkey and Iran are very closely aligned ethnically, religiously, culturally. So what even is NATO? It's a arbitrary false overlay on top of the reality in which alliances are, you know, held in much more personal regard than, you know, what's dictated by some international agreement. Anyway, this is going to be a repeated theme that we're going to see throughout today's coverage, is the idea that international law, international rules, diplomacy, agreements that we've been made, none of it means anything. It doesn't mean anything when you have scumbag traitors running your country and nobody holding them to account. Meanwhile, U.S. nationals urge to leave Middle East as conflict spreads. The U.S. is sending charter flights to evacuate Americans from the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia as the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran widens. The U.S. State Department said Monday that Americans should, quote, depart now from Bahrain, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, and the occupied West Bank and Gaza, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, United Arab Emirates, and Yemen due to, quote, serious safety risks. But many flights from the region have been canceled or suspended since the U.S. and Israeli began striking Iran on Saturday. Iran responded by firing missiles and drones at Middle Eastern nations allied to the U.S., and the State Department is now actively working to secure military aircraft and charter flights for Americans seeking to leave the Middle East. I think we should all leave. I think first to leave should be the military. I think if we weren't in the Middle East, none of this would be an issue. And here's where it comes home. And this is the real long-term danger of the crusade of retardation that Donald Trump has now embarked our country upon. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the downstream unfixable consequences of this utterly inexplicable decision by Donald Trump? Because here it is. Gavin Newsom likens Israel to, quote, apartheid state, questions future military support. That's right, folks. Donald Trump just screwed up so badly. I'm now a Gavin Newsom supporter. Not really, but kind of though. But I mean, he's right about this, but he's certainly on the, you know, ball here. Gavin Newsom likened Israel on Tuesday to an apartheid state and said its leadership has left the United States no choice but to reconsider military support for its ally in the Middle East. I would go significantly farther, but this is what Trump has done. He is basically ripped open on his own accord, ripped open a gigantic vulnerability in his own political armor. Just where, like, literally all he had to do was just, like, enforce the law. That was it. That's all he had. He had to deport people. And, yeah, that's basically it. He had to deport people and, like, arrest criminals and throw the deep state in jail. Not only is this what the people wanted, it's what the nation requires to get back on its feet. The downstream effects for the economy and everything else would be evident and apparent and wonderful. He could have just done that. Instead, he is just handed over gigantic wins continually to the worst people in the world, psychopaths like Gavin Newsom, who simply recognized, like, I guess I'll take advantage of this. I don't know. I mean, Gavin Newsom's sitting there going, yeah, my political enemies are just, like, you know, lifting their helmet and baring their throat. Like, I guess I'll slit it. You know, it's just like, okay, I guess, why not? Again, so, okay, go Gavin Newsom, I guess. please rescue us, Gavin Newsom, from the apocalyptic suicide cult known as Israel. Key takeaways as midterm season begins with Texas and North Carolina primaries. The 2026 midterm election season kicked off Tuesday with primaries in Arkansas, North Carolina, and Texas, featuring seven high-profile contests that will set the tone for November as voters weigh in on President Donald Trump's second administration and Democrats debate their party's direction. Republicans are defending a razor-thin majority in the House, and they've already tried to bolster their efforts by redrawing congressional maps in several GOP-controlled states. Who's writing this? Washington Post. I love how they say that. Well, the Democrats are redrawing more states than we are, but they literally don't even mention that. That's fine. Which is funny because the Republicans did sort of start that trend, started to reorganize the districts, but then all of the other Republicans immediately got cold feet and bowed out and basically said, well, we can't do this. This is immoral. I don't want to win that way. Okay. And finally, House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew of fraud and failed to act. Duh. Oh, good. Oh, well, now that we know that, should we start an investigation? I think now's the time to start an investigation. You know what I think we need is another investigation. I mean, you know, we've had 10 million investigations. This has been known since like 2015 that this fraud was going on. We've seen it on video with Nick Shirley's reporting. We could just look at the data. That's just overwhelming. And so now, but, you know, they had to investigate. Obviously, they have to investigate this. So they did. Now, Tim Walz has been questioned. We have videos from the questioning of Tim Walz today. And they've concluded that Tim Walz and his administration knew of fraud and failed to act. And to me, when an investigative body of the government determines that a crime has been committed and determines that the authorities tasked with solving that crime are in fact in on the crime itself and either facilitating or barely or just merely allowing the crime to go forward, when that conclusion is found, they should be punished, right? Am I missing something here? I'm sick of these headlines. I'm sick of this cycle. I don't even understand it at the end of the day. Like, what do these words mean after all? Are we in a nation of laws, or are we just saying things that don't mean anything and don't have any impact? I mean, if you're sitting here telling me that you have found him at fault for allowing the wholesale theft of billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money, the next line in the story should be, he was placed under arrest, he has been stripped of his authority, he is now being indicted, and here's his mugshot. Like, that should be the next. I'm just confused. We have all the evidence we could possibly need, and yet we're still investigating. We finish the investigation. We conclude through the investigation that, yes, these people are criminals. They are engaged in criminal acts continuously. And then nothing happens. Like, what are we doing exactly? We'll go ahead and cover this. We'll go to some of these videos. That was Nancy Mace questioning right there. And again, you know, just like the last time we had to watch this just, I don't even know how to put it, like this potato with lips, like whoever this Tim Walz character is, this almost, you know, metaphysical, like it's almost like a Ghostbuster villain or something. It's like, I know he's there, he's a human, but I also feel like, I don't know, he could just sort of disgorge slime at any point from some sort of other dimension. I guess he's whatever. Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, whenever he is being questioned, it's not even the fact that he's committing crimes. It's not even the fact that it's so apparent and obvious that he knows exactly what's going on and is just playing the fool. It is that playing the fool part. It is that righteous indignation that I really can't, I can't express. I can't enunciate. My vocabulary fails me. to properly, adequately express to you what happens in my brain when I see this. I think you'll understand it, but it goes to the heart, what we're dealing with everywhere, which is shamelessness, just pure shamelessness. The man has been caught. The man should probably be scared of going to jail for the rest of his life. He should, at the very least, express some sort of humiliation at the fact that even if he didn't do this on purpose, this is a shameful embarrassment. This is a failure on an epic level that, if he was human, would inspire some sort of guilt, you know, just feeling bad about it. But he's not even a little bit. He's arrogant. He is like acting like the offended one. And again, at the end of the day, you know, if we were machines, it wouldn't really matter, right? Somebody doesn't have to like express guilt or like, you know, whether somebody is defiant when they've been caught. It shouldn't really matter because it doesn't actually affect the reality on the ground, right? Like, okay, somebody was injured because of a criminal act. That criminal should be punished for it, held to account for it, and should be made to, you know, reimburse or, you know, help the person that they hurt somehow. You know, you can look at this in a very sort of clinical and robotic way, and it shouldn't matter how they act. But the human part of me demands, like requires that they show contrition, requires that they, even if it's just symbolic, like even if they don't feel it, but they're just pretending it, I need them to bow their head and admit that they did wrong and admit that they feel bad about it. And I don't, you know, maybe this is just me. Maybe this is a personal, you know, issue I have to deal with. But to me, if you sit a person down and you say, under your watch, billions of dollars were stolen, and they go, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm sorry. We're going to work to try to figure out, you know, we're going to get a lot of this money back. Like, we didn't know what was going on. And this is my fault. You know, obviously it wasn't, you know, if they're contrite, if they feel like they feel bad, then if I'm the judge sitting there, you know, I'm going, all right, you know, you're still being punished. You still can't continue your job as it is. But if you work with us and try to get this money back, then we can work with you. But the instant that they are caught red-handed, I remind you, and they sit there and try to talk back to you, if you sit them down and say, you got caught, all this money went away, and they go, you're just trying to do this because you think, now I want them skinned alive. Now I want their fingernails pulled out with pliers slowly. Now I want their head crushed in a vise like a medieval torture weapon. And I know maybe that's just me, but like I feel like we're missing some sort of human element in our society right now that allows scumbag traitors like Tim Walz to walk around. Like he's just walking around out there acting like he's in charge and getting away with it. And it's all of this stuff on top of it. But Tim Walz is like a great example of this type of thing and these types of people. I just want the display of contrition. That's all. Just mere pretense of humility, and I'd be satisfied. They can't even summon that up. So I think they need to be taught a lesson. I think people like Tim Walz need to have the smirk wiped off of his face politically and nonviolently. Let's go to his questioning of Nancy Mace, because I think you'll understand where I'm coming from here. Clip 21.
We are staying on Capitol Hill, folks, and there is Governor Tim Walz facing questions from Representative Nancy Mace. Let's listen in.
Do you know what a woman is?
I'm the governor of Minnesota, Congressman.
You know what
I'm not here
is.
To be your prop
okay.
or your obsession.
So if
I
you can't define what a woman is, you certainly can't define what fraud is. If you can't even define what a woman is, you can't define fraud. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2017, Governor?
I don't have those numbers in front
okay.
of me, Congressman.
Did you prepare for this hearing today?
I take Congress seriously.
And you've seen the numbers about autism fraud in Minnesota. So we're going to do some Minnesota math with you today, okay? Are you ready? How much money was spent on 2017 for autism in Minnesota? How much?
I don't know. I wasn't the governor.
Okay. Did you not just say that you prepared for this hearing today? $1 million, okay? A quick Google search or using your AI could tell you $1 million was spent. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2024?
I don't have the number in front of me.
As were you governor in 2024?
I was, but I'm not the
okay,
head
so
of
your excuse head. Before that you didn't know what 2017 autism numbers were because you were not governor, and today you can't answer the numbers about 2024 as governor, and you still said you prepared for this hearing today. It's unbelievable. $343 million was spent in 2024. What percent increase is that from $1 million to $343 million? What percentage increase is that?
I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell me.
Are you governor of Minnesota or not?
Yes, I am. I'm not.
Well, when
I'm
governor of South Carolina, you can sure as hell bet that I'm going to know the math. The math is 34,200% increase, an increase of 343 times what it was in this time period. Do you know the number of children in Minnesota?
I know that Minnesota ranked as a top three state for children in the last year.
What is the total population in Minnesota?
5.7 million.
Okay. What is the total population of children in Minnesota?
I don't have the number in front of me right now.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I know 400,000 were cut out of health care last week by the actions you made.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I am.
And you don't know the number of children residing in Minnesota?
I don't have the specific number. It's 5.7 million.
That's your total
what
population.
What is your age? What is the age? 0 to 5? 0 to 19?
You have approximately 1.2 million children in Minnesota.
What
I'm
age?
Not even governor of South Carolina. Our population in South Carolina is 5.5 million. We have approximately 1.1 million children under the age of 18 in my home state of South Carolina. Okay. As governor, I expect you to know this information. Thank God you're not vice president of the United States. Do you know approximately how many children in Minnesota are autistic or on the spectrum?
No, I don't have that number.
Okay. Well, if you take the CDC's roughly 1 in 36 kids are on the spectrum, we're talking about approximately 33,000 kids. In South Carolina, it's about 31,000 or so. What is, do you know what this is per child spending-wise in the fraud for autistic kids in Minnesota?
Again, I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell
us. Is doing Minnesota math a prop? This is math. We're talking about fraud.
Minnesota ranks at the top. Where does South Carolina rank?
We're talking about money.
Where does South Carolina children rank on healthiness?
These are my questions for you. It doesn't go the other way around unless we're debating on the debate stage. But we're not.
If you're asking questions about being governor, it does.
I'm asking you questions about being governor of Minnesota, which you can't answer. This is basic math. And you can't even answer. Do you even care about kids in Minnesota?
They rank near the top in every category. My children are fed. My children are housed. My children have health care.
The services they need in Minnesota.
My children have the best schools.
No, you don't. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I mean, again, it's just like, you showed him. I mean, she's right. It's just like, what is this? I'm going to read the headline again. The House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew of fraud, failed to act. Okay, this isn't just, you know, you saw somebody getting mugged across the street and you failed to go, you know, stop them. This is you're a police officer and you're watching somebody get mugged. It's not just they failed to act. They had an obligation to react. Their failure to react, their decision to deliberately not punish the crime and instead allow it to go on makes them accessories to the crime. Why are they being questioned and not charged?
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
As I'm just going through my stack of news here, and I'm separating, basically, we have two types of stories. We got the war with Iran and everything else. So we'll get into the war with Iran here. We will tell you the latest and where it goes and the just latest crimes against reason and logic and reality that are being committed by world leaders across the globe. And we will get to that in just a second. But the stories that aren't about Iran sort of explain why Iran makes me so angry. Because all of the stories not about Iran are about how our country is being ripped apart by the seams and is unrecognizable from only a few short years ago and only getting worse. And gigantic culture-rending problems going totally unaddressed while we bomb Tehran for no particular reason. Again, we will get into that because, I mean, there is just no strategic anything going on. We're just killing people to see what happens, I guess. There's no end in sight. It's insane. But this is what's going on in America while we are. And you know, maybe I need to pull in some of the videos. You know, they make these videos where it's like, here's what it was like during the first wave of Operation APAC Fury. And it's like, you know, all of these tankers and these precision guided bombs, the bunker busters, the multi-million dollar missiles, each one. And it's just like every word of their description of this equipment is just another like slap in the face, another reminder of how far down the priority list just basic American concerns are, that we have just magical capability. We can do anything. Like the American government, just infinite resources, infinite capabilities, can do anything we put our mind to. Meanwhile, you know, you have to pray to God that your mother isn't stabbed to death by some criminal that's been arrested 45 times in 15 years. He's from Senegal, shouldn't even be here in the first place. It puts everything else in context. So from Greg Price, murder of Stephanie Minter in Fairfax, Virginia has turned into an unbelievably massive scandal. A newly released email shows the Fairfax Police Department warned Commonwealth Attorney Steve Descano's office about the this past November about releasing illegal alien repeat offender Abdul Jola back into the community. They said, quote, it's not a question of if, but a question of when he will maliciously wound or worse again. And they were right. He murdered Stephanie Minter at a bus stop last week. Steve Descano and Abigail Spanberger have blood on their hands. So again, it's not like, I don't know, yesterday, the father of a school shooter got convicted and sent to prison for murder. That happened yesterday. Steve Descano and Abigail Spanberger should be charged with murder. They should be in jail for murder. When they're told by the people whose job it is to advise them on whether or not to let somebody out, they say, if you let this person out, they will harm an innocent person. They know that's the case. They still let the guy out and he murders somebody. He ends somebody's life. He shatters a family. Again, you just can't even fathom the amount of like psychic trauma and terrorism these people wrought on a daily basis. So, okay, that's one headline. By the way, the guy had been in jail no less than 30 times. He was an illegal immigrant. And he's literally being told, they say, unfortunately, based on the station's numerous dealings with him, again, I want to share my concern that it is not a question of if, but rather when he will maliciously wound or worse again. Unfortunately, my concern came true after you and I last met with his last violent attack. And, you know, there's another video earlier this week. I should have pulled it in because I've been talking about this forever. And it was a father who is basically, it's in a courthouse, and he's in a courthouse hallway beating the crap out of somebody who, I believe, murdered his son. And basically the person got out without bail and, you know, was free and was like smirking at the guy. And the guy just thought, screw it, I'm going to get justice now. And like, we're going to see a lot more of this. And like, frankly, again, I probably shouldn't say it, but like, if I was the family member of this woman, and like, I, you know, I'm not saying they should do this, but I mean, yeah, I'd be mad at the murderer, obviously. I'd be more mad at the judge. I'd be more mad at the people that let him go. Right? I'm mad at the rabid dog. I'm more mad at the person who let the rabid dog into the preschool, right? So yeah, here's the father beating up the guy who, of course, was getting away with it and smirking and knowing that because of our lenient, liberal, dumbass judicial system, he would get away with it. I say let the dad do it. Get off him. Let him lynch the guy. The government's not going to do it. The authorities aren't going to do it. Look, here come the police to rescue the murderer. I mean, hell, if we're going to have a collapse in law and order, let's have a collapse in law and order. I'm sick of anarcho-tyranny. We can do tyranny or we can do anarchy, but we're not doing this split difference thing. So again, I like, to me, if I learn that there was a guy who should be in prison, who'd been arrested 30 times and been let out by some bleeding heart liberal. Like, they're the ones I'm coming for. I'm not, you know, yeah, some, you know, 50 IQ barbarian wandering around. Yeah, he's going to make me mad. But no, it's the libtard judge that's going to get my ire. So I don't understand how that hasn't happened yet. 30 times this guy's been arrested. Let's move on. Justice Department, under pressure from Trump, fails to build auto pin case against Biden. So it's like, do you see a disconnect? Do you see the disconnect here? It's like, okay, you want to start a senseless, baseless war overseas, kill God only knows how many innocent people, foreigners, for no reason whatsoever. You're going to get Americans killed. We've already, the Iran war has already cost us at least $2 billion, probably significantly more with a number of billion-dollar radar arrays that Iran is taking out with its $20,000 drones. And that just happens. And they just do it, and it doesn't matter what the population thinks about it, doesn't matter what the Constitution says or the Congress, it just happens. But try to do literally anything for the American people. Try to hold any deep staters to account or get criminal charges for any of the infinite number of crimes that the Biden administration committed. And we just can't do it. Just can't do it. Kilmer Abrego Garcia is still in this country. And the DOJ is just going, yeah, that whole auto pin thing, you know, where a bunch of people who weren't elected usurped the power of the president, started using it for their own ends in total secrecy and abject violation of the laws governing the highest office of our country. You know, whatever. We can't do anything about that. Sorry. It's just, okay. The Justice Department, in wake of calls by Donald Trump to criminally investigate former President Joseph R. Biden Jr., scrutinized whether Mr. Biden and his aides broke the law in using the auto pen to sign presidential documents, but was ultimately unable to move forward with making a case, according to three people briefed on the matter. The department's failure to build a criminal case against Mr. Biden and his aides is the latest example of its increasing inability to follow through on Mr. Trump's demands and bring indictments against those he wants to be criminally targeted. You know, and to me, it's like, it's really not that hard or difficult to do this if you just had the balls to do it, the guts to do it, the fortitude to do it, because it's a simple matter of, like, you give an order. You say, here's the timeline. You have 1 week to do this. If you don't do it, I'm bringing somebody else in, and they're going to go after you for your failure to do this. Because this is not a matter of incompetence. This is not a matter of, we tried really hard and just didn't, you know, couldn't get it done. Like, it'd be unfair to punish somebody if that was the case. No, these are traitors. This is deliberate malfeasance. This is deliberate subversion going on. So, like, the what needs to happen is, and again, it's like, it's not even a debate. It's not even a question. Even more so than the Tim Walz thing or anything else. This is another example where it's like, you don't need an investigation. It's just known. We just know that he used the auto pen to sign things that they did not have approval for. We have it in their own words that this is the case. We don't even need an investigation. When they're like, oh, we tried to bring a case. No, they didn't. At all. And if they did try and fail, then fire them, bring other people in and try again and then try again and then try again until you get it, because they broke the law and they're not being punished. And if Trump was the guy that we thought he was, then not only would he have gotten this done or fired the people that weren't getting it done, he would know that, like, the American people, I mean, at the end of the day, this is the situation that we're in. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, like, lay it out as to the situation that we are in. When the government is no longer fit for purpose, when it no longer serves the ends for which it was built, it has to be removed, eradicated, and destroyed. They lose their legitimate right to authority. They have lost their legitimate right to authority, meaning that just because they are wearing the nice clothes and walking around marble buildings in Washington, D.C., does not grant them authority over a dude in overalls in a cornfield in Iowa. They're the same morally as to who has authority over the other. So if I was Trump, or if Trump was a real man, then you would go, if this isn't getting done, we have a deep state that is committed incontrovertibly insane crimes. The Epstein list, the Russiagate collusion, COVID-19. I mean, it goes on and on. And if Trump was a real president, like George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or William B. Travis or Sam Houston or Andrew Jackson or Abraham Lincoln, or literally any of the great men that could serve as models in American history who did stuff like this, then he would say, you have to go after these people. You have to charge these people and they have to go to jail. Or otherwise, I'm just going to call for the militia. I'm just going to say, hey, Trump supporters, these people are not doing what I say. They have lost the right to rule over you. This is no longer a legitimate system. Your votes cannot control this government because you voted for me and they're not listening to me. So it's time to make them listen to me or eradicate them or get them out. Burn it down. That's what should happen. This government doesn't have a right to rule anymore. It does not. Its purposes are at odds with its design. So Trump actually has every valid excuse to literally reorganize the government into, if anything, an imperial structure, to where he just goes, this can't work anymore. This doesn't work anymore. Every system of our government is so thoroughly corrupt with you people that it is impossible to deal with this internally. So I'm making a new external bureau. It's called the Praetorian Guard, and I am hereby granting them authority over you. And they have one job, one task that I'm assigning them with: root out corruption at all costs. Spare no one, spare no expense in the investigation. And the watchword is speed. Get it done now. And then you'd see a lot of people fall into line really quick, if just the threat of that. But if they don't fulfill, then you just do it. Obviously, he's not going to do that. I mean, I'm just fantasizing at this point, but I'm trying to illustrate like where we are at this point. If the government's not putting criminals in jail and allowing them out to murder your family members and not even paying the price for it, when they refuse to even try to punish the people inside the government who have committed outrageous and blatant crimes against the American people, what is the purpose of the government at that point? They're failing to uphold the most basic functions of the concept of government, of government as a metaphysical concept. Again, House Oversight Committee concludes Tim Walz's administration knew of fraud, failed to act. Okay, great. Is the fraud still going on? Probably. I mean, they're both still in power. Neither one of them's paying any price for it. And by the way, there have been situations here where they charge the criminals. They charge the fraudsters, the Somali fraudsters. They have a court case with a jury. The jury convicts them. Then when it goes to the judge for sentencing, the judge just throws the conviction out. Why do we have a system? What is the point of any of this? Do you have any idea? Because like, it's a big fraud case. The investigation, the lawyers to build the case. I mean, so many resources, so much time and trouble and effort going into like getting a conviction. And there's just some dumbass liberal judge that just goes, I just want to let this guy go. And so he gets let go. And it's just, what? I don't know what new system we need, but we need a new system. We need a new hardcore system managed from the top down by American Christian men. This has to end. Okay, so we can't do anything about the tens of billions of dollars of open fraud just bankrupting us on every side. And the outcome of the Republicans' utter and outrageous failure to do anything positive for the American people, period, is obviously going to result in everybody abandoning the Republicans. Why should we vote for Republicans? Why should anybody vote for Republicans when you're just less effective Democrats? You're just worse than the Democrats. It's like that Governor Stitt I was talking about the other day. It's just like, I don't believe that the Democrats are trying to replace our population. You know, we need to work together on it. It's just like, go away. Go away. You're worse. You're worse than the bad guys. And so, of course, Republicans are going to lose. We're going to lose elections across the country. After primary win, will James Tallarico fight for justice in Texas? Texas Rep. James Tallarico's victory in a heated Democratic Senate primary on Tuesday offered a potential bright spot to the Senate, to the state's progressive organizers, not necessarily because they prefer his policies, but because some see him as more malleable than his opponent, U.S. Rep. Jasmine Crockett. And even this, you know, the only reason he ran was because he lied about his interview being canceled on Colbert. But, you know, again, doesn't matter. They just lie with impunity, trusting that the audience they're lying to is too stupid, ignorant, disconnected to know or care they're being lied to. So they're going to get away with it. It's just literally there's everything collapsing. And the Democrats, I don't know at the end tally, but certainly all day yesterday, Democrats were far exceeding Republicans in vote totals for the primaries. And it's almost certainly just has to do with, Republican excitement. Well, what is there to be excited about? Who cares? Our country is being utterly dismantled, and boomer, dumbass Republicans who refuse to do anything about it are worse than the people doing it. They really are, because they give you a false sense of hope. They act like they're going to do something about it, but they don't. Yeah, to be honest, I feel bad for Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett got screwed there with the whole Colbert stunt. She absolutely got screwed by her own party. I mean, whatever, she deserves it. Who cares? Meanwhile, ICE is using mass surveillance on American citizens and activists, according to NPR. So this is the thing. We don't get deportations. We do get the massive digital biometric surveillance grid, ostensibly predicated on the deportations that aren't happening. So instead, we're literally just building our own prison. We are literally just building the infrastructure for the AI surveillance grid to enslave us electronically forever, all predicated and justified by our desperate need for mass deportations. Only the mass deportations aren't actually happening. We're just getting the bad parts. We're just getting the restrictions and the surveillance and the censorship and the jackbooted thugs walking around American streets with impunity. We're not getting the deportations that it's all predicated on. So, I mean, and we can go on about this. I mean, I really do think that they are just going to start using ICE to go after like anti-Semites or whatever. So that's just a little smattering, a little collection, a little taste of some of the non-Iran news. And it's just, I just get the image of, like a beautiful, you know, American girl doll, like some really well-crafted porcelain doll being fed into a thresher, you know, being fed into a grinding machine of some sort. Like that's just America at this point. We're just being ripped apart at the seams. We're being torn apart from every angle by the criminals, by the fraudsters, by our own quisling scumbag coward retards in charge, by the Democrat mainstream media collaboration. Meanwhile, all of the power and authority and expertise and resources that we have are being poured endlessly into supporting a genocidal little rogue nuclear state called Israel in the Middle East. And it's like, when is the breaking point? When do we say enough? Why are we taking this? Why are we allowing this to happen to our country? And when you look around and you just, it's just like, yeah, it's just this. It's just like idiots wriggling around and just like, as we just spiral downwards, as we just roll down the hill into the abyss through the, you know, gaping chasm into hell. It's just outrageous. It really is beyond outrageous. And again, I don't know what we have to do to get out of this, but I think the first is like, talking about it like this, understanding at least in some small part where we are. Let's go to clip 24 here. Because if you think I'm joking about where we're going and about, you know, combine all of this together, right? They won't go after the criminals, but they are surveilling you constantly. They can't deport everybody, but they are building gigantic concentration camps and empowering, you know, local federal police to act locally. They're building AI centers to, you know, an unhealthy degree as we rely greater and greater on that. And now apparently, according to this woman, they're updating the census to ask a few more questions than they used to. Let's go to clip 24.
But if you keep saying, just a heads up that the government is running a test census for the 2030 census, and they are asking you some very invasive questions. A census lady came to my house on Saturday, and I'm still uncomfortable about it. From what I talked to the lady about and what I found on Google, they're not doing this everywhere. It's just specific locations because this is a test census, not the real census. Just like the normal census, you're going to get envelopes in your mailbox saying that you need to fill it out. If you ignore it long enough, they will come to your house and they will ask you the questions in person. I did the census. I worked for the census in 2020. So when she came to my house, showed me the badge, had all the stuff, I was like, okay, this is legit. I don't feel like someone's trying to rob me. But it was intense. She was a really nice lady. Don't get me wrong. When I did it in 2020, it was literally just how many people live here and how old are they? Like it was very short. This one, I'm not exaggerating. She was here for at least 15 minutes. It was not small talk. The whole 15 minutes was asking me questions. So if they come to your house, say you want to do it on the phone and then just don't ever do it on the phone. Otherwise they'll come in and they'll ask to come in and ask you all these questions. I said yes because I thought it was just the ones that I knew. I did not know it was this involved. There were different sections. So it started off with what I knew and then it kept going. And then I was like, why are you still in my house? So there were ones like, how many rooms are in your house? How many of those rooms are bedrooms? Do you share a septic? Do you have Wi-Fi? What kind of Wi-Fi is it? Do you have a laptop? Do you have an iPad? I'm not exaggerating. Like, things just kept going. How much is the value of your house? What are your property taxes? How much interest are you paying? Do you have a mortgage? How much?
Folks, they're trying to catalog the entire American population and all of our natural resources to feed it into an AI to create a parallel shadow AI world where your digital twin can, you know, be fed information to see how well you can be manipulated.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running till the 17th. at theoxygenstore.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We're going to get into the latest in the Iran war this hour, and I want to start with what was actually a very balanced, nuanced, and highly informative video about the history of Iran and what has led us to this point. It's a girl from TikTok known as Forgotten Girl 505, and here she is breaking down the recent history of Iran and what got us to the point of the revolution and where it could go from here.
If you don't understand what the fuck is happening in Iran right now, here is a quick summary of everything you need to know. To fully understand everything that's going on right now, I'm going to give you some brief historical context. In August of 1953, the United States and the United Kingdom did something called Operation Ajax, where they overthrew the democratically elected Prime Minister Mossadegh and implanted their guy, Reza Shah Mohammad Pahlavi. Also known as the Shah, he oversaw Iran from the 50s to the 70s. And during this time, Iran saw a lot of economic growth. They had liberalization, modernization. Women were able to do whatever they want, wear whatever they want, go to university. And it was an overall very liberal society. However, at the same time, it was heavily influenced by Western countries. So the United Kingdom, the United States, Israel, they had heavy ties and influence to Iran, which a lot of people did not like. The Shah also had a secret police called the Savak, which employed a lot of over-surveillance of citizens, brutality, and unnecessary aggressions, which the citizens grew to heavily resent. At this time, a lot of the wealth and power was also solely concentrated with Iran's elite, which religious leaders and the general population grew to resent because of the heavy Western influence and funding that the elite had. By 1979, the people got tired and had a revolution where they replaced the monarchy with the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is the Iran that we see today. Now, the new leader we see is Ayatollah Khomeini, who carried on Iran from 1979, from the revolution to today. And his government strongly stood against Western influence and cultural dominance, against imperialism, against Zionism, and strongly supported the Palestinian cause. So while these objectives were great, there were other downsides to this government. It imposed heavy religious extremism and rules and regulations on women, women's hijabs, covering up all the time, to a point of brutality, which we saw in the Masha Amini case and Zan Zindagi Azadi movement. Political dissent, independent media, and civil society activism are heavily restricted. On top of that, the economy has become so devastated that it's hard for an everyday Iranian to live in. U.S. imposed sanctions to curb the Iran nuclear program has resulted in a collapse of the economy as of late December. Inflation is skyrocketing. The rial, which is Iran's currency, has totally collapsed, and people across Iran are protesting. Civil unrest is so tense that the current Iranian government is enforcing brutality amongst protesters. Many are dying at the hands of government officials. There have been widespread internet and phone blackouts, so people living in Iran have no contact to their family members or friends outside of Iran. People of Iran are not only fed up with the economy, they're fed up with the government, and they just want a widespread change of government, a complete overturning. There are, however, some downsides to this. You may see some photos circulating of Iranian protesters carrying the Israeli flag. This is because there are some Iranians who want to bring back the Shah monarchy. They want to have that Western-aligned government. They want to have that Zionist-aligned government, which would mean that the Palestinian cause would greatly suffer because Iran is one who's greatly funding Hamas right now. Their argument is that they would see more liberalization, women could be free again. But if I know anything about Western intervention, is that Western intervention may look good right now, but overall you'll see a result like Afghanistan and complete failure all over again. I think what the people of Iran need is a third choice, not just a decision between the Islamic Republic versus the Shah. They need a democratically elected leader who will stand for their interests while also not standing for religious extremism. More than ever, I also want to see Iranian voices amplified, the people of Iran, diaspora Iranians, to decide what their government is for them. And if people in Iran are tired with the religious extremism, that doesn't automatically make them a Zionist. I want that to be clear. As you can see with this issue, there's no black and white. There's very gray, pros and cons to both sides. So we will see what unfolds in Iran over the course of the next few months.
So again, I'd say it's a pretty fair interpretation of what exactly has gone on so far. I would just say we're probably farther from any positive outcome than you could possibly say. Yeah, there's her TikTok account, Forgotten Girl 505 on TikTok. So I thought, you know, I thought it was a pretty balanced interpretation. However, if there's one thing that we've been able to learn over the last couple of decades of horrific Dunbogle military adventures, it's that you don't replace a government with a secular, successful replacement by just airstriking the hell out of civilians, which is exactly what we're doing right now. So if that's the goal, what they're doing now is working in complete the opposite direction. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the second hour of the War Room. Talking about the Iran war now. The great debacle, the most insane decision possibly ever made by an American president, or maybe ever. I was talking about this with our editor Reese yesterday, and going, this might have been the biggest mistake in the history of the world. I don't know what else could compare. I mean, already we've lost billions of dollars of, you know, radar equipment. The Gulf countries have had their entire reason for existing shattered. They're supposed to be these super safe playgrounds of the elite. A bunch of billionaires and millionaires don't want to be literally running across the tarmac as the airport is being bombed and their private jet goes up in flames. So, like, I don't know how the economy of the Gulf countries is going to respond. I actually just had another story. I mean, just the downstream effects of this. Qatar Energy has just declared force majeure, three words that mean we cannot deliver and legally we do not have to. This is no longer a supply disruption. It's a contract collapse. Force majeure is not a precaution. It's a formal legal declaration that an unforeseeable event beyond Qatar Energy's control has made fulfillment impossible. Every affected buyer just had their contract voided. The gas they were counting on is gone and they have no legal recourse to get it back. 82% of Qatar's LNG goes to Asia. China relies on Qatar for 30% of its LNG imports. And yeah, essentially they're shutting down factories. Like, there's an aluminum factory in Qatar that's about to shut down because they, you know, can't operate in the war conditions and don't have the fuel to continue operations. And when you shut down one of these factories, you can't start it up. In some cases, you cannot start it up again. Like, they have to always be running or else the machines like seize up and you have to like replace them, or it takes 6 to 12 months to start again. So, I mean, this is just the first wave effects. How many tens of millions of Iranians do you think are going to be fleeing Iran, considering the fact that our current strategy in that country appears to be simply bombing the hell out of civilians, and specifically civilian authority infrastructure like local police stations? Our goal in Iran has now become to create a failed state, to create a factionalized battlefield where civil war can be waged for probably decades on end. What is the benefit of any of this? Like, there's not even an argument for it. I think Donald Trump's decision to go into Iran may go down as the worst decision ever in all of history. Like, I don't know how this could be positive. How this could possibly come out positive. And it's like, you know, best case scenario at this point, literally best case scenario, I think, like for Trump, at least, like for the Trump side of things, I think the best case scenario is utter quagmire, failed state Iran. Because we're definitely not like replacing Iran with the Shah. Like, that's not happening anytime soon. So what is the purpose of this? You know, worst case scenario is like China gets involved, Russia gets involved, Turkey gets involved. Like, Trump may have literally destroyed America and like the world from this decision. That's why this is such a big deal. That's why this isn't just like, well, let's wait and see. Let's trust. No, I think he committed treason. And let me be clear about this too. I think what was done was treason. I think Marco Rubio and Donald Trump made the decision to commit America to a war with no goals, with no, you know, desired outcome. Like, again, utterly retarded to do this. But everybody who's ever defended Israel in the last 2 years has contributed to this. Everybody who defended Trump's actions in Venezuela, I think, is guilty of contributing to this. I mean, we were groomed to accept what's going on in Iran right now. It was actually a very sophisticated operation they pulled off, and it's only now that I can look back and sort of see what the purpose of the Seditious Six was. Because at the time, they were stress testing the limits of presidential war powers. And they were deliberately exceeding those war powers to test the reaction, to gauge the, you know, clap back from anybody who actually opposed this. And we covered it at the time. And I said at the time, to claim that cocaine being shipped to America is not an imminent threat that therefore justifies unilateral military action from the federal government. It's just not. And it's absurd to claim that because the boat might have drugs that might get into America, that might be used by an American to maybe overdose. No, that's not an imminent threat. That does not fulfill the requirements prerequisite to start war actions. Now that would have been nice to see anybody do that. It would have been nice to see principled Republicans make that stance. It would have been nice to see Democrats make that stance. They didn't, did they? What did they do instead? Instead, they made a video. The Democrats made a video telling American soldiers, disobey your orders. That's the real definition of controlled opposition. You hear the word controlled opposition a lot. A lot of people don't understand what it means. That was controlled opposition. See, they knew that there would be opposition to the president of the United States unilaterally deciding to drone strike foreigners without a trial and without a justification, and only by the most liberal stretching of the definition represented an imminent threat. There was going to be pushback to that. Now, if that pushback had been legislative pushback of the legislature asserting their authority when it comes to war powers and trying to rein in the executive in that way, that could have been effective. That not only could have been effective at stopping the Venezuela war crimes, that could have been effective at creating a precedent to disallow what's happened now in Iran. See, they were preparing us for what is now happening in Iran. We were having the same arguments back when it came to Venezuela, only it was more of in a testing phase. So instead, they co-opt the opposition to Donald Trump, and they have the controlled opposition not say, hey, this is a overreach of government powers. This is, you know, something that Congress needs to assert its legislative prerogative. No, no. They said, hey, American soldiers, disobey your orders. Okay, that's controlled opposition. Because that's sedition. You shouldn't be, that is the worst possible. Not only will it not solve the problem that you're trying to solve, supposedly, if you're trying to stop Trump from bombing boats, like that, it's just not the way you handle this. That's not the way you'd actually solve that problem. You're actually only creating more problems later, but you're also sort of preempting these types of discussions that may have been happening right now should we not have gone through that with Venezuela, right? They wanted to have those discussions, have that conversation, set the precedent with Venezuela. So now that they do it with Iran, it feels familiar. It feels like we've been through this before and it's already been decided that, yes, Trump can do this. This is the level of PSYOP that we're operating under. And I genuinely, and like, I couldn't really know at the time, but certainly if you're watching the show, you heard me be like, I don't like the precedent this is setting. I don't like that Trump is being encouraged and being told that he's allowed to start wars like this. He's not. Why? Because look at where we are now. Look at the situation that we're in. We're only in this situation with Iran because we allowed Trump to do it with Venezuela. We only allowed Trump to do it with Venezuela because the people who should have been opposing him were instead co-opted by the CIA to create a crisis of dissension and subversion in the ranks by telling the soldiers to be seditious, not solving the real problem, creating a bunch of other problems. Again, I feel like this falls perfectly into the, you know, Black Lives Matter paradigm, right? Where, you know, similar type of situation. The issue is real, right? In their case, the issue with Trump exceeding his presidential limits was real. The topic of the police in America being weaponized and militarized and, you know, brutalizing American citizens, that was real. But instead of dealing with the real issue in a responsible and effective way, the bad guys come in, try to make the issue about something else entirely, make it impossible to deal with the real issue, cause a bunch of other issues, all the while setting the precedent for future actions that require all of this stuff to take place in order to groom us into accepting this early on. So there we go. So that's where we're at this point. We can go to more video. I mean, it's hard to tell what is true at this point, because the other aspect to the war that's going on against Iran now is, of course, the Eighth Front, the information war, the understanding by the Israelis, as you've heard reiterated over and over, it's just as important that we win the online war as winning the war on the battlefield. And so it's a little bit more difficult for them to do that with X, because Elon Musk is so vocally in favor of free speech and, you know, all this. Now, when it comes to TikTok, when it comes to Instagram, we already know that literally the people that run those companies and that are installed in those companies as the censors are just fully committed to censoring everything that makes Israel look bad. They're open about it. They act like it's a virtuous thing to do. When it comes to X, they have to be a little bit more subtle, but it's very obvious if you're paying attention on it a lot, the way that the algorithm changes. For example, yesterday I'm going through videos for a while, and then all of the sudden for like 10 videos in a row on X, and I'm just, you know, doing the thing where I just, you know, I'm scrolling through it almost like TikTok. So it's just giving me videos from people that either I follow or that are liked and shared by people that I follow. And suddenly 10 videos in a row are Fox News, CNN, Fox News, NPR. It's, I'm getting nothing but mainstream media sources. So that's one of the tactics that they're taking. Going, well, we don't want you to take anything down, but we think you should prioritize authoritative sources, right? And this was sort of the first expression of censorship that they tried all the way back in 2016, 17, going, we need NewsGuard to tell us which sources are reliable. And YouTube should really serve up mainstream media sources, trustworthy sources first, before those untrustworthy individuals down there. So X is basically you have like the war going on in Iran and Israel. Then you have the parallel war going on in the offices of X and the ADL and the SPLC and the AIPAC, who are weaponizing their, you know, powerful industrial connections to, you know, blackmail and threaten to boycott X if they don't, you know, censor things that they want. There's an invisible war being waged on top of the normal war. And it's interesting because the invisible war is desperately trying to make the real war invisible, right? So in Israel, there are very strict laws about sharing video of strikes, missile strikes, launches, anything like that. And you've got the Israeli officials, you know, putting out statements going, the police are hunting down anybody who posts video. And like, they're serious about it. And they will use their technological wizardry to track you down and imprison you for merely showing the reality of what's happening. So over the last 24 hours or so, the amount of battlefield video has diminished significantly. Now, X is doing some, I think, good things, debatably, but obviously AI videos are a major issue with this conflict, and this is only going to get worse into the future because still AI is like a little bit detectable. It's kind of hard to get an AI video to go viral without people noticing, and Grok is okay at identifying it, but I like that X came out and said, basically, we're going to demonetize you for like 3 weeks if you share an AI video. I think that's good. I think that's good. I think you need to disincentivize sharing AI. And if you do it that way, it incentivizes people to double check, right? Because you don't have to know. Like, it might be a little unfair, but like if I share a video that turns out to be AI, I'm going to get hit. It's kind of on me. I need to make sure that what I'm sharing is not AI, because I'm concerned about getting demonetized. So I think that's not bad. I think we do have to do something to deal with the AI. But the censorship that's going on behind the scenes is not good whatsoever. So we're getting less evidence and video of what's going on. So we already were having trouble figuring out what was real and what wasn't. You know, I think, as of now, I think America has admitted to like 7 servicemen being hurt or dying. I think it's got to be a lot higher. We have no idea. And again, this is something that we talked about all the way back. You might not remember this. This must have been at least a year ago. It was on American Journal, and actually Lebanon John, who called in yesterday, was on with me. And we were talking about the fact, because what had happened was the Houthis had fired missiles at our aircraft carriers had to make very sharp, fast, and intense evasive maneuvers. And in doing that, it would cause like one of the jets on the aircraft carrier to break loose and go sliding off the deck. And people were getting hurt and killed. American servicemen were getting hurt and killed. And we were pointing out they're not reporting on this. The powers that be in this country have decided that strategic secrecy around casualties in the Middle East is necessary to keep the Middle East war going. Yeah, so only 6 U.S. service members have been confirmed dead. And I have the feeling it's a hell of a lot higher than that. I don't know exactly how high it is, but I pray that it's only 6, which is still 6 too many. But we know, because it would come out later, it'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, people died during that attack, but it wasn't reported at the time. Now, typically, America obviously prides ourselves on our open journalistic integrity about the honesty of our, you know, military. Even, you know, if we don't always fulfill our, you know, stated intentions, at least those intentions are there. But that's sort of gone away. Just like how we've adopted the Israeli tactics when it comes to diplomacy, of like thinking it's clever to be like, yeah, let's have a negotiation, knowing the whole time the negotiation's a giant ruse and you just plan to stab the people in the back. Like, it's not clever. It's just betrayal. It is an existential thing for you to do for the rest of us. It's one of those like, are you able to see 2 steps down the line? The first step down the line is you screw them over and you win. Great job, idiot. You know, great job, scum. Yeah, they believed you, those dummies, and now you screw them over and you get that immediate short-term victory. Well done. The next step is nobody negotiates with you ever again. Or maybe they do it to you and say, yeah, let's negotiate. Then they stab you in the back. Have you thought about 2 steps down the line? But of course, the people that are actually engaged in this, they're not the ones paying the price anyway. The first step is Israel gets what it wants. The second part is America pays the price. So they're happy for that to be the situation. But just like we've adopted the Israeli tactic of lying about everything constantly, there's also this, everything has to be secret. Oh, we can't let people know that American soldiers are dying or else they might not support the war anymore. It's like, yeah. No, that's why we have to let them know. Again, this is something that underlies all of liberalism in the Western world these days. Is this idea of, well, we can't publish the crime rates by race, or otherwise people think it's bad. We're bringing in all of these Muslim rapists to our country. It's like, yeah. So like, as we just disintegrate as a culture, as our actual values that built our society and our civilization just are deliberately abandoned or just crumbling to dust all around us, there's going to be an acceleration of this, and there's going to be, you know, greater and greater incentive to lie more and more. And there's going to be a greater and greater struggle to even ascertain basic reality. Where are the ships? Are there ships? Are there missiles flying? Is anybody dying? Is anything striking? Because I have a video of the spokespeople for America saying we have total domination of the skies and they have no more missile launchers left, while I simultaneously have video of Tel Aviv neighborhoods being flattened by giant Iranian missiles. So I think this is on purpose. I think the bad guys are, the term is muddying the water, right? They don't want you to be able to see clearly through it. They don't want you to be able to actually understand what's going on, because then your informed decision will almost certainly be at odds with their informed deception. And so they want to hide it from you. They want to stomp around and kick the mud up and obscure things so that you can't know what is true, can't make a decision, and are just at the ignorant behest of the people who do know. So just understand that all of this follows the moral collapse of the United States as we abandon our traditional values and our moral certainty for immediacy, for convenience, or for the sake of the despicable liars in chief, the Israeli people. And I think this is important to understand, because you've got things like Caroline Levitt. And I think this is it. Yeah, clip 14. Let's go to clip 14. This is White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt talking about something that I think we need to define, which is, as I just mentioned, what are the morals that America represents? Who are we as a people? What do we believe, and how do we enforce that? Here's Caroline Levitt making a statement about these morals without defining them, which I think is a dangerous thing. Clip 14.
President Trump has done more to crack down on illegal immigration and to strengthen our legal immigration system than any president in history. Several months ago, he announced a travel ban on 19 third world and failed state countries around the world. Secretary Noem announced tonight she's recommending that travel ban widens and covers more countries around the globe. Special immigrant visas, which we know many Afghans have used to come into our country, there has been a complete suspension in pause on all of those. If you look at the entire visa process in general, we have greatly strengthened and heightened the vetting process and requirements for that under Secretary Rubio's leadership at the State Department. And he has used his authority, which is unprecedented, to actually revoke the visas of many individuals who, yes, came here legally, but still pose a risk to our country and should have never been allowed in the first place. And I would just remind people around the world that coming to the United States of America is a privilege. It is not a right. And if you abuse that privilege, and if you don't align with the values of the United States, and you don't respect our country, our culture, our laws, and our people, you are not welcome here under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump.
Wow, very strident. What does that mean, though? But what are our values? What is our culture? See, as Americans, I think our values are freedom and the, you know, independence and self-respect of every individual. See, Americans don't believe in collective punishment. We don't believe in blood feuds. We don't make our geopolitical decisions on the basis of religious extremism. See, these values are un-American, and yet these are the values that if you oppose, the Trump administration will kick you out of the country for being anti-Semitic. I think we need to decide who we are and then kick everybody else out.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexShowsCore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexShowsCore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowsCore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowsCore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win the term I coined over a decade ago is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend, special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexShowsCore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexShowsCore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Information War. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. This is The War Room. Follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at InfoWars at Real Alex Jones. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And once again, I feel like we have a responsibility here as the tip of the spear in the Information War and the fight for humanity. And the proof maybe that we deserve the spot at the top, not only because we've earned it against all odds, but because we identified, you know, at the very beginning of InfoWars, what the guiding light would be and what the solution to all of this is. And it's the founding fathers and it's true Americana. It's the actual American ethos. Unvarnished, unmanipulated, unrestrained. It's Thomas Jefferson, the founding fathers, George Washington, Andrew Jackson. I mean, it's what those guys believed, what those guys said has to form the basis, the foundation that everything else is built on. Because when you lose that, there's no saying where you go. When you become unmoored from these things, everything is justifiable. Everything is able to be rhetorically justified or slotted in where it doesn't belong. And again, I say that because now we're seeing the effects of what happens when you lose that. What happens when you forget the purpose of the freedom of speech or freedom of religion? When you forget the fundamental necessity of the Second Amendment or any of these things? And it's not just about the laws themselves, the rules themselves, the amendments themselves. It's about the moral underpinning that they're all based on. And so this has been the key to our success. This has been our secret weapon the entire time, because using this, it's like a compass. It's like, it doesn't matter where in the world we are. You look at the compass, you know which way north is. Nothing, you know, everything else can change, and, you know, whether you're heading north or you want to head south for a little bit in order to get north later, it doesn't matter. You still at least know where north is. You know how to orient yourself. So you know how to deal with any new situation. It doesn't matter what it is. If you aren't grounded in a foundational morality that you can express and understand fully, holistically, comprehensively, then you're at the whim of the winds. You know, every new situation you have to cobble together or fabricate some sort of moral construct that helps you decide which way is which. We don't have to do that. For me, it's always, the answer is always predicated on Christianity, the founding fathers and their morality, the really Greco-Roman Christian foundation of this country, not Judeo-Christian. Christian is sufficient to describe the history of the Christian religion, which used Judaism as a vessel to deliver the Christ, at which point the religion itself was manifest and became something utterly unique and different than what was before. Christians enough to satisfy that. Equal to that in importance for our social reality is what happened in Athens and Rome 2,000 years ago, not Jerusalem. So that's where it all starts, and that's where the fount of our success has been. And I think people recognize this. And again, the beautiful thing about this is everybody should be able to accept this. Everybody. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter what race you are. The brilliance of this, the principles that we operate by, is that they can be adopted by anybody and for anybody and applied to any situation for the ultimate end of human freedom, which is why, like, I don't know what people think. I guess I'm not responsible for what people think. But all of this stuff is just simply and obviously true, and anybody trying to tell you otherwise is lying to you for their own ends and or think they're being clever. I think I'll be able to explain all of this here by showing you the opposite. I think I'll be able to illustrate what I'm talking about by showing you a place in this world, a area where such foundational American morality is absent, and what that looks like. So again, this isn't I don't know who would be against the things that we believe at InfoWars. I can't imagine who would be able to watch InfoWars and go, huh, I do think we should eat babies. Maybe the international pedophile rings have a point. Like, okay, if you aren't on our side, you're on the bad side, and it really is as simple as that. If you are on our side, I hope you support us. I hope that you can be proud of your participation in this mission, because it is your pride and your joyful celebration of what we represent that has allowed us to be so successful and allowed our message to penetrate into the minds of the American people in such a way that has changed the world. Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com. But I hope you double down, and I hope you know that we are as committed to the founding principles as we ever were, and that will not waver, and there's no reason for it to waver. So as much as I'm talking about, like, we need a new system, I mean, we need new people, we need new authorities, we need to shatter the leftover bureaucratic, tangled mess that we currently operate in and establish a new one that actually is based on the principles laid out in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. Which again is like, okay, we have two options here. We have a couple options, but mainly, let's say three options. Let's say the three options are we keep going the way that we're going, which is just towards destruction. We are headed off the cliff. There is no, you know, inevitable change of trajectory that we're to see. So we can just go off the cliff. We could go with the radical progressive revolution, in which case we try communism again. Why the hell not? And then it just gets infinitely worse, infinitely faster for all of time. Okay, that's option number two. Option number three would be you break the current system, which is, of course, as we know, sacrilege in our circles. Yes, I'm literally talking about no longer following the Constitution, but only and specifically for a reset to where the Constitution actually matters again. That's what I was going to say. We have two options. The third option is just we don't do anything and just we degrade forever and we become South Africa. That is an option. But in terms of like what we need to do to fix it, either because the system is so bad and revolution is going to come, either the bad guys who genuinely do not believe in the Constitution, do not value human freedom, do not believe in individual rights, like actually eradicate that stuff on purpose because they hate it, or you have to like moderate that stuff for the time being to where we can get back like strategically to a point where these things matter again. Do you understand what I mean? So like right now, sticking to the legal system, there are a lot of people in this country that are like technically citizens. And that if you stick to the letter of the law and you go, well, if I was that person, I wouldn't like to be treated that. It's like, well, then we're just stuck with this problem forever. So how about, here's my suggestion, how about for like a temporary time, we go, even though on paper it says you're a citizen, if you arrived in the last 10 years, you're just not a citizen. You're just not. Now you can be later. You got to go home first and you got to reapply and come back. But I don't care what your little piece of paper says. I don't care, you know, that some other foreigner told you that you're American, right? Because that's what's happening is you've got like some leftist activist from Senegal who Obama puts in a judge robe sitting there handing out American citizenship to people from Sri Lanka. It's like, I don't have no reason to abide by this. What the hell is this? So either we can just let the leftists take over. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about liberty. They don't care about morality in any way. And they'll just replace the system that we have now, which predicated on morality falling apart, not functioning correctly, but still ostensibly based on good things. They'll just replace that with straight up communism. Or we can take the necessary steps, you know, unpleasant as they may be, to actually get back to a place where the Constitution even matters anymore. To any degree. That's my position in it. And again, I say this because right now we have lost the underpinning, which we have tried desperately to insist upon forever. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to lay out the argument ever since October 2023. People are like, these are our allies, got to support Israel, Judeo-Christian, whatever. And it's like, we don't believe in collective punishment. What Israel is doing to Gaza is completely at odds with our most fundamental morality. You do not punish innocent people for the crimes of the guilty. You do not kill children because they might potentially grow up to maybe harm somebody you like. These things are anathema to our fundamental, deeply held beliefs about the nature of the human soul. So how people like Caroline Leavitt can sit there in abject, you know, sycophantic support for these people that do not believe even the most basic things that we do. And then say, but if you disagree with them, you're the bad guy, you're un-American, you don't have our values, and you'll be kicked out of our country. It's inversion. It's completely backwards. These people don't believe in our values. These people are deliberately altering our values to other values that are effing us over continuously. American values. And this is, again, I've tried to like say this over and over because there's a cycle that goes on where people like you grow up and as a little kid, and it's different now because the bad guys have gotten in so control that kids aren't even raised with the good stories first. But it used to be that you'd hear the good stories about our founding fathers that probably weren't real, but were informative, were valuable, right? Did George Washington cut down a cherry tree? Yes, he did. And he admitted it. That really happened. Whether or not it happened, you have to believe it happened. So as a little kid, you're told these wonderful stories that make our founding fathers look like demigods. And you believe them. You assume that they're true. And you think, what a great guy this George Washington. Then you grow up a little bit and you go, well, he wasn't a perfect guy. He was human like everybody else. He made mistakes. Hell, he owned slaves. I mean, I know it was the time period, but that's kind of a black mark on his record. So you go, okay, those stories weren't entirely true. I'm going to try to find out what the reality is. Now, you can sort of go one of two paths at that point. You can either go full-on leftist where you're just like, actually, white people were always evil and everything was a lie and George Washington never cut down the cherry tree and every positive portrayal of anybody in history is propaganda that has to be torn down. You can go that way, which is like the way that a lot of very stupid people go, or you can go the other way, which goes, yeah, of course George Washington was a human. Of course he made mistakes. I don't know if the cherry tree story is real, but you know what we do need? We need heroes. You know what we do need? We need models to look up to, role models and virtuous men that we celebrate and that we tell our kids about in order to impart to them the values that define our society. And so what's happened is that human or American society has basically decided to abandon all of that, criminalize and demonize all of our heroic ancestors who were the greatest men that ever lived, regardless of their, by comparison, utterly minor and, in fact, completely inconsequential, you know, personal failings. No, it's actually extremely valuable to reemphasize and reiterate and, dare I say, propagandize your children into these values, because without them, the world becomes unmoored. And we end up supporting people and places and organizations that our founding fathers would destroy as rapidly as they possibly could. And I didn't even look for these videos. You know, if I wanted, I could play 10,000 of these videos. Let's just show you the videos I happened to stumble across today out of Israel, shall we? Because again, is this the same as like bombing a whole school full of little girls? Well, it's farther down the spectrum than that is, but it's not out of the same realm, right? These things all exist in the same realm. So let's go to clip 19 here. This is the only anti-war protest in Israel. Okay, so as we speak, Israel is first of all getting bombed quite a bit. I'm going to show you some videos of the neighborhoods in Tel Aviv that are unrecognizable these days. But we are also just carpet bombing Tehran, which is a city with a greater population density than New York City. And we're not bombing missile launchers there. We're not bombing anything that threatens it. No, we're just bombing the civilian infrastructure in order to cause them the most pain possible. It's horrific. Now, I've been sort of disappointed in the lack of protests here in America, but in Israel, this is what it looks like if you try to hold an anti-war protest. You tell me if this strikes you as, you know, distinctly in line with American values, American mythology about the rights of protest and, you know, the people standing up against their government. Let's go to clip 19. All right, so here's the protest. This is the only protest in Israel against the war. 20 people showed up, and they are outnumbered both by the number of police and the number of media there to investigate it. And basically, the 20 protesters, brave or insane enough to try to protest war in Israel, were all arrested. And the protest was broken up. So this is what I mean. This is why I'm so insistent on, like, that the values America believes in actually matter, and that it actually matters and is significant and substantial, how Israel does not believe the things we believe. They do not have the same morals we have. They are not moral. They are not good. They are not in line with the fundamental beliefs about human society, human nature, the human soul, justice, freedom of speech. They are as bad, as dislocated from us as the mullahs are. They are as foreign to our beliefs as the most extremist Muslim ever could be. Imagine living in a country where, despite waging senseless, pointless war overseas, the biggest crowd you can get to oppose the war is 20 people, and the police just rush in, steal all your signs, throw the leaders in jail, and silence everybody, and then probably arrest people for posting it on the internet. Are these the values that we share with Israel? Are these the values that Caroline Leavitt thinks that you have to agree with, or else you're not American? Are we supposed to think that it's good now that anti-war protesters are brutalized and arrested, despite being a vanishing, like, what even would be the harm of letting 20 people protest? It's 20 people. Obviously, the wider Israeli public doesn't care. Obviously, the vast majority of, like, 99.99999% are not protesting the war. They're very much in favor of it. So it doesn't even matter. Like, let the 20 people, but they can't even do that. They can't even let 20 random people wave a sign outside, because that's how, you know, thoroughly threatened they are by the very concept of free speech and petitioning the government for redress of grievances. Why are we acting like this country has anything in common with America? So that was just the latest. That's to their own people. That's simply Israeli citizens holding signs that say, we don't like killing all these people. They're being arrested. They'll be charged. They'll be treated like terrorists. Hell, maybe they'll be raped to death, and then they're in prison, and then their rapists will be celebrated on national TV like they do with the Palestinians. Okay, but that, all right, but I hear you. It's sort of an extenuating circumstance, right? After all, they're in war, and gee, when war happens, you know, you gotta, you know, make some changes sometimes. But what about the videos that we've shown you before of just Israeli soldiers just wandering into a Palestinian village and just forcing everybody inside? Or the scenes that we've seen of Palestinians, you know, being forced to no longer walk on the street because an Israeli's there and they're not allowed to walk on the same street as Israelis. Like, how many of these things have we seen? How about this one? Let's go to clip 22 here. Viewer discretion advised. Viewer discretion advised. This is what our greatest allies and our, you know, the chosen people, this is what they're getting up to while, you know, we are bombing Iran for them, shooting and running over unarmed Palestinians in October was Matan Engress, quote, most beautiful thing to do before his tank crew was liquidated and he was taken captive to Gaza. So basically, you have this tank crew of Israelis terrorizing Gazans, and then the tank crew got blown up, and you know, one of the soldiers got kidnapped. But clip number 22. This wasn't even like a leak. Like, this is, they're proud of this. All right, let's watch. All right. There's the unarmed Palestinian farmer just trying to run away when he gets shot multiple times and then run over. He says, terrorists, we're also flying. They're moving fast. Go on, bypass him from the right. Again, it's just an unarmed, like, farmer running away. Right, on the right. I see how everyone is running to a different place towards me. Keep going, Matan. While seeing these sights, I needed to keep fighting. I'm driving and sitting in the driver's seat. It occurs to me, what am I doing? I'm a tank driver. How can I? Come on, move ahead, straight over. Come on, move forward. Run him over. And he does. Then I started running over one after another. And running over itself is, on the one hand, one of the most beautiful things. It's beautiful. I'm just stepping on a terrorist who wanted to enter the territory of the country. And I say to myself, it won't happen. But on the other hand, you have to move on to the next terrorist. As good as one there, I can't even give a number. That's a crazy amount. I need to continue to the next. So he's literally just like, running over terrorists in my tank is a beautiful thing. And the video is just like some Palestinian guy just like running away across the field, and they're just like shooting him and running him over. And he's just like, I lost count of the number of people I ran over. He's like giving this interview and calling it a beautiful thing. And the Israelis are just like, yes, it is. It is beautiful. And if you protest this, you will be arrested. And if you say that our values are somehow at odds with Americans, you're an anti-Semite, okay? And ICE is going to, surveil you and, make sure Caroline Leavitt doesn't hear about it. You might be deported. I think we need to decide what American values are. Nothing I've seen out of Israel even accidentally looks like an American value. It all looks like seething evil to me. It all looks like it is in abject, just diametric opposition to absolutely everything I believe. So just want to lay that out there. I want to lay that out there again as a sort of as the groundwork as we continue to talk about Iran, as we continue to talk about our country, our world, our civilization, our race being sacrificed on the altar of Israel. It's worth it to remind everybody that they are nothing like us. Should we go? Let's go to clip 20 here. Again, just put yourself in the position of the Palestinians. Because remember, when you hear Israelis talking about Amalek, that's you. Okay, that's me. It's everybody in America and everybody in Europe, okay? For some reason, Americans have this idea. They look at Israel and they see Israel beating up on the Palestinians and they feel tough and powerful because they think they're on the side of the Israelis. You're not, dude. You're on the side of the Palestinians. So put yourself in the mindset of one of these people in Palestine, this is in Bethlehem, who most of these people are likely Christian. They're not religious extremist Muslims. They're Christians like you and I who have been there and their families have been Christian since Jesus ministered to them on the very land on which they now live. Let's go to clip 20.
Okay, so here you can see the Israeli soldiers are now forcing all of these shops to close because there's a tour of Israeli settlers who are here. Can we go this way? Why? I'm an American journalist. Are we not allowed to go this way? Huh? Can you explain why this area is being closed? Okay, I'm walking.
One by one, Palestinians are forced to close their shops and leave the area.
There you go. You're just people your quotidian daily humiliation ritual by a bunch of cowards with guns storming their way into an ancient village so they can, by the way, bring a parade of American settlers to look for their new real estate that they're about to seize with the help of the Israeli government. It is our obligation as Americans to not just oppose this, but destroy this entire system, root and branch.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring or, in the arena. And he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse. And I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, canceling time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheUltraStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. It's been a bit of an intense show today. I'm feeling a little fired up. I think I'm going to get worse. I think the last hour is going to be the craziest hour. That's my goal anyway. I think we'll start off on the right foot here if we're going for insanity. From Alan He on X, Senator Sheehy, that's unfortunate. Senator Sheehy joined Capitol Police in lifting up and ejecting anti-war protester Brian McGinnis from a SACS subcommittee hearing. McGinnis is a Green Party candidate running for Senate in North Carolina, and anti-war activist filmed the video below. So that's the context, is that this is a man named Brian McGinnis who is being ejected from a subcommittee hearing. McGinnis is a Green Party candidate, and I've heard this video is actually kind of graphic. Apparently his arm gets broken, but this is probably, I guess, what you get for, you know, not wanting to die for Israel. Let's watch.
Out! No one wants to fight for Israel!
His hand!
Oh my gosh, his hand is stuck in the door. He's wearing a Marine uniform. There's four guys.
Let go of your
hand. Holding with their hand.
Let go of the door.
Let go of the door.
The senator broke his hand. The U.S. senator just broke the hand of a Marine.
Wow, he broke his hand?
Sir. Okay.
Control your Senate.
Rob. His arm's stuck in the door. Okay, sir.
A U.S. senator just broke the hand of a Marine.
Hand stuck.
A U.S. senator just broke the hand of a Marine.
You're a coward.
What'd you say? Senator? That's why you got kicked out, badass.
Everybody sit down, please.
I'm getting out of here.
That's fine. Everybody sit down, please.
Is your hand okay?
No, it's not.
This is disgusting. Disgusting.
Just pull it out.
Former Marine Sergeant Brian McGinnis stood up in Congress to say what millions of Americans are thinking. We don't want to fight a war with Iran for Israel. Security dragged him out and broke his arm. Veterans are speaking out. The American people don't want this war. Wow, and there's the struggle beforehand. Scroll down a little bit. And it's not until he wraps his arm around there, they really start pulling. But again, like, this is the insane part. Like, any other protester, it's like casual. It's like, you know, they'll start laughing. The person sitting at the top will start doing this whole, like, whatever it's called, auctioneering thing. 1,000, 2,000, can I get a 3,000, right? It's a big joke. But then you have a U.S. Marine saying, we don't want to die for Israel. And it's just like, kill him, rip him out of the, break his arm, get him. And it's just like, why? What is wrong with everybody? What is it about this topic in particular that has everybody hypnotized into insanity? Let's go to, because there are still some people that can see clearly. Clip two here. This is a man named Graham Platner. Let's watch.
Part of our main community. Nobody wants this war.
No.
Absolutely no one thinks that this is a good idea. And the reason why they don't want it is because they know what it's actually about.
Right.
This is a war that's being pushed by Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah.
He's been
yeah.
trying to make this war happen for almost 30 years.
That's right.
This is a war that's being pushed by the Saudis,
uh-huh.
who have also wanted this war to happen. Two nations that are happy to watch American blood be expended on their behalf.
Uh-huh.
This war is also being pushed because Donald Trump is in the Epstein files.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
and other people in the White House and other people connected with the Epstein class, they are terrified that we have noticed what they are doing. They're terrified that we're going to start wondering why the hell we let them stay in power.
That anti-Semite. Ban him from everything. Throw him in jail. Somebody get Laura Loomer and Jonathan Greenblatt on the horn. We have a disobedient citizen that needs correction. Break his arm immediately.
You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Information War. I have a lot of stories to cover and a lot of videos to show you still. It's almost all entirely has to do with just the senseless, aggressive, and unrestrained greed of the Israeli people as they fulfill their long-expressed desire to conquer as much land as possible by force using American lives before any of them ever get touched by anything negative. We have a new video from Donald Trump I just put in there. Again, Donald Trump has been humiliated over this. In fact, we have a video, clip number 39. I think this represents a pretty good approximation in visual form, a visual metaphor for our current situation. If we can go ahead and go to clip 39 now. Now here's Netanyahu pushing. Oh, it looks bad, but don't worry. Don't worry, folks. It's not that bad. No, he's just going for a little ride. No, it's Netanyahu just saddling up old little Trump, going for a little ride, getting where he needs to go, courtesy of Donald Trump, who's been harnessed, fed a bag of oats. Maybe they put out the slop in the trough for him. Regardless, my strategy here, I'll just come out and say, I obviously appealing to Trump's better nature is not working. Obviously, trying to lay out the logical retardation of his current path has not been very effective at breaking through. So maybe just humiliation. Maybe just humiliation. I don't know. We got to try something else. But like, I think Trump has a pretty big ego. Does he know what a pathetic bitch he looks right now? I wouldn't be okay with it. I would rather die and look like Donald Trump looks right now. And I say this as a diehard, you know, to the mattresses supporter of Trump against all odds and against my own interest in certain cases. I've lost things because of my support for Donald Trump. It's never been about what's convenient or, you know, beneficial to me. It's that he was seemed like a pretty good guy for a while, but at this point, again, does he understand this? Does he get that this is how people like me are feeling? And again, when I was talking to Reese yesterday, you know, he asked, he's like, so how do you feel about Trump now? And I feel like he's King Theoden, right? That is why I keep using this illustration, because you see Theoden when he's got worm tongue in his ear and like, you hate that guy. That guy sucks. That guy's the worst. I believe that the real Trump is in there somewhere. I believe that he's under the caked on, you know, deception and lies and manipulation. I still think that there's a gem of something real in there that I want to appeal to, that I want to bring out, that I want to rescue and resurrect from whatever this morass he finds himself in. But until that happens, he's lost me and a lot of other people because his behavior is inexplicable when compared to the promises he made on the campaign and every way else he's been up till now. But people are putting videos out showing Trump looking defeated. He, you know, is in any other situation, and we don't even need to imagine, just look at how he was after Venezuela or after when there's a successful military strike. He's answering questions. He's joking with people. He's like, you know, going out there now is like his head's down. His shoulders are bowed over. He's not taking questions from anybody, not hanging around, you know, after the ceremony to glad hand and take pictures with people. He looks defeated. He looks defeated. And it doesn't make any sense because he's got us. I'm not sure if I brought it in. I brought in a clip of Nick Fuentes. It's too long to go to right now. But I was watching a couple clips of his yesterday during his show. And, you know, he just said something that, again, it's something I've been saying for a while. But it's this idea that, like, if we just had one, we just had one politician who had balls, who had the bravery, who had the understanding of the situation that we're in to sacrifice themselves or their families to do what's right, we would not be in this situation. There's 350 million of us that love you, that would respond to your call for justice. But you just give in. You just fold. You just cower away. And it's so pathetic. Because the only possible explanation that I can figure out is blackmail, manipulation, threats. In a way, I can understand. I mean, you know how these people are. I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if they, you know, gave Donald Trump a picture of his grandchildren at school and went, be a shame something happened to them, wouldn't it? I think they would do that in an instant. And you know what I would do immediately? Whip out my camera and go, this mother effer just threatened to kill my kids. See this guy right here that I'm looking at right here? This guy just threatened to kill my kids. Problem solved, Trump. Like, what could possibly be the issue? Oh, the stock market's going to go down. Like, what's the issue? What's the problem? What's the problem? Because right now, everything is getting worse. Everything is going down the tubes. So, like, what is the risk of doing something extraordinary to try to fix things? What is the threat here? That, like, the cool Jews won't like you in Florida? I think that's, like, kind of what it is. Okay, all right. So our country's just over. You're just, like, the biggest traitor since Benedict Arnold, and all hope is lost. Okay. But at least you're going to be able to retire in Tel Aviv, despised by your own people. Well done. Good choice, dumbass. I don't understand. So he's not doing well. He's not handling this well. And he's lying. And they're all lying. And the lies are ridiculous and outrageous and completely contradictory to the lies they told yesterday. Look at this guy. I almost feel bad for him. But I don't feel bad for him because he's the one doing it. He's the one making the decision. He's the one we empowered. He doesn't have an excuse. He's the one trusting the people betraying him. He's the one who hasn't fired Pam Bondi. He's the one who hasn't fired any of the people that have betrayed him over and over. So I don't feel sorry for him. I feel mad at him. But not just him. Everybody that has contributed to this. Everybody that has defended Israel in the last 2 years, everybody that defended the Venezuela thing, everybody that went along with all of this, the blood is on all of their hands, and the destruction of America is courtesy of them. Again, this whole thing is so freaking ridiculous. Let's go to this video of Trump today. Again, like reiterating that we had to do this to save Israel. This is why I swear to God, he is in this world in DC where he is literally surrounded by Israeli sycophants, and he does not understand that that's not the wider world. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to express this. But it'd be like if somebody came in to InfoWars, and the whole InfoWars crew is maybe like sitting around watching something, and this person comes into InfoWars and is like, the good news is that, like, okay, this might not have been good, but, like, now there's going to be a lot more trans children. Now trans kids are going to get free transgender surgery. And they're, like, saying this, like, isn't that a good thing? So, like, isn't that awesome? And we're all like, where do you think you are? Who do you think you're talking to? Like, do you understand what I mean? That it's like, he's like, but guys, Israel would have been hurt. And we're all like, fuck Israel. Like, what? Good. They should be destroyed. What are you talking about? So let's go to Trump making the argument that, like, guys, we had to do this. Otherwise, Israel would suffer the consequences of their actions. Let's watch.
This is very important, and we're doing very well on the war front, to put it mildly, I would say. Somebody said, on a scale of 10, where would you rate it? I said about a 15. And we're going to continue to do well. We have the greatest military in the world by far. And that was a tremendous threat to us for many years. 47 years they've been killing our people and killing people from all over the world. And I think we have great support. And I think if we didn't do it first, they would have done it to Israel and give us a shot if that was possible. And if we didn't terminate the worst deal, one of the worst deals ever made, the Obama nuclear deal, I call it the Obama nuclear deal, where he gave everything to Iran, including a nuclear weapon. It was a road to a nuclear weapon. Bad things would have happened 4 years ago, because they would have had a weapon 4 years ago if I didn't terminate that deal.
So it's for Israel. That was Donald Trump. So 2 days ago, Marco Rubio came out and said the reason we launched this attack now was because Israel was about to attack Iran. If Israel were to attack Iran, Iran would have attacked us. So we joined in the preemptive strike against Iran because we cannot restrain Israel, apparently, or at least we didn't try. Then yesterday, they came out, Caroline Levitt, Marco Rubio, they all came out and said, no way, that's not what we said at all. That's not what we said even a little bit. This was not Israel's decision. Israel did not force America into this. Now, today, Donald Trump just reemphasized what Marco Rubio said, but even worse. Marco Rubio said, we had to do this because Israel was going to attack and Iran would have killed a bunch of our people, so we had to respond to minimize our damages. That's not even what Trump just said. Trump just said, we had to do this or else they would have attacked Israel and maybe hit us also. He tacks that on at the end. That's worse. That's worse than what Marco Rubio said. Marco Rubio at least predicated it on Israel's action will cause damage to us. Trump just went even farther and said, no, we had to do this now or else Iran would have attacked Israel and also we might have gotten hit. That's treason. He has committed treason. Marco Rubio has committed treason. Everybody involved in this has committed America to essentially all-out war. We're just like tripling down. And you can just see where this goes. I mean, this is Vietnam 2.0. What other option could there possibly be? Yeah, and Trump goes from, again, wars can be fought forever. Well, they're gonna be. Let's go to Rubio versus Rubio here, just to remind ourselves of the inconsistency, the stupidity of the claims that the Trump administration is now making. Here's Rubio versus Rubio.
Yesterday, you told us that Israel was going to strike Iran and that that's why we needed to get involved. Today, the president said that Iran was going to get...
Yeah, your statement is false. So that's not what he... I was asked very specifically. Were you there yesterday?
Yes, I asked
Okay. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
Okay. All right. I get like what? Okay. I don't even know what to say at this point. And they just keep lying. They just keep lying about everything and then changing the story to another lie, which is just equally absurd. And again, the outcome of this, the ultimate upshot of all of this is going to be a sweeping Democrat victory. Sweeping Democrat victory. We didn't get any deportations, but you know the Democrats are about to give them all citizenship by the back door, right? We couldn't possibly ever achieve anything when it comes to the deep state being arrested for their flagrant criminality for a decade, just stomping over every American law they can find, just rigging entire political elections and trying to send Trump to jail for decades on end and creating new laws out of thin air just to go after Donald Trump. None of that's being charged at all. None of that is going to be punished, but everybody who signed up to work a shift at ICE is going to be thrown in jail for murder under a RICO charge when they get back in power. The floodgates are going to open. Citizenship is going to be handed out like candy. They're going to start instituting death taxes and inheritance taxes and just stripping America and the West for parts. Ripping out the copper of the walls, both literally and metaphorically. And we're done. Why are we done? Why have we focused so entirely on things that don't actually matter while our own country is being dismantled right in front of us? Israel. Israel is the answer. Israel is the word that unifies all of this. So, like, you know, people for the last 2 years, you know, talk about me like I'm friggin' Hitler or something because I mildly criticize Israel's relentless campaign of genocide. Like, I've been polite. I've been nice. I've been very patient with people's understanding of the world. It's over. It's done. That was probably a mistake. We should have been going harder from the beginning. Although, obviously, it's taken some time for people to be exposed to this. It's taken a while for people to understand the reality of what's going on with Israel, with the diaspora, with control systems. But I don't think we do yet. I don't think we understand this yet. I don't think we fully comprehended what it is we're actually at war with here. So don't get me wrong. You cannot give in to them with pure hate and malice and senseless hatred, which is why I keep reemphasizing our morality, our beliefs, our fundamental understanding of the world, is because if we give that up in order to go after the Israelis, then what's the point? We might as well be Israelis. You understand? That my opposition to Israel is firmly rooted in things like the disgust I feel for collective punishment. Therefore, to engage in collective punishment against Jews or Israelis over what Israel is doing would be in an obvious contradiction to my own opposition to them. Do you get it? Do you understand it? That there's a false dichotomy that's put out that says either you're with the Israelis or you want them all to die. And that's not the case. I want them all to be deprived of power in my country. I want all of their personal, ethnic, national interests to be extricated from my government. And that by maintaining and persisting on that demand, anybody opposing us is just our enemy. There's no good reason not to. Like, there's no good reason to oppose this idea of just like, we are America, they are Israel. Their interests are not our interests. Their beliefs are not our beliefs. Their morality is not our morality. Their war is not our war. They are, in fact, our enemy. They understand that. What is it going to take for America to understand it too? What is it going to take for America to simply accept the challenge that they keep throwing down over and over and over and over and over? So I'm done like, moderating, like, well, you know, I understand that they're, because that's obviously led us to this point. That's how we've gotten to where we are now. So screw it. I'll support Gavin Newsom. Why not? Why not? When he's the one saying the stuff that needs to be said, let's go to, and this was posted again, you know, people post this on X. It's like, Newsom's gone full mom Donnie. Like, you need to be a Muslim to oppose the Iran war for the sake of Israel. Like, you need to be a radical Sunni to be appalled at little Christian kids getting murdered in church because they happen to be Lebanese. We said there's a spiritual sickness, a malaise that's just poisoning our blood at this point. And I will support whatever physician inoculates us against this. And if it's Gavin Newsom, I'll take that risk. Here's Gavin Newsom.
And a lot of Democrats have looked at the Netanyahu regime and felt like, you know what, we don't like the trajectory he's on. It's time to rethink the U.S. relationship with Israel, especially military support.
Well, where do you stand? Making that easy right now. Let's talk about that. But the issue of Bibi is interesting. Because he's got his own domestic issues. He's trying to stay out of jail. He's got an election coming up. He's potentially on the ropes. He's got folks, the hard line, that want to annex the West Bank. I mean, Freeman and others are talking about it appropriately, sort of an apartheid state. They couldn't even, I mean, we're talking about regime change. For 2 years, they haven't even been able to solve the Hamas question in Israel. So this is, I mean, you know, I want to be careful here, but, you know, in so many ways, that influence in the context of the conversation of where Trump ultimately landed on this is pretty damn self-evident. And so Rubio may have been saying something else in the context of what he ultimately said in terms of being sort of pulled into some of these things. But I will say this, didn't surprise me in this context. I don't know if it was Napoleon or whoever said about a sword, the only thing you can't use a sword for is sitting on it. And when you bring two aircraft carriers out there and you assemble the kind of military force that Trump did over the last few weeks, it didn't surprise me ultimately they moved that direction.
Do you think, looking down the road, that the United States should consider maybe, you know, rethinking our military support for Israel?
Well, it breaks my heart because the current leadership in Israel is walking us down that path. Where I don't think you have a choice but that consideration. I mean, to say this is in America's interest at a time when affordability is at crisis levels, where you had an administration who literally got elected saying this is exactly opposite of what they would ever consider doing. The fact that we are in this now regional war, all these proxies, the fact that we, you know, and all the grift and the corruption that's also marks a huge part of this. And that's a real conversation we need to have, this Board of Peace. And the peace that the Witkoff family's getting, and the peace that Kushner is getting, and the peace that Trump Jr. is getting.
So again, you know, this is the outcome of Trump's betrayal, is ultimately empowering our worst enemies to be able to make statements like that I can't help but agree with and think that we'd be better off if somebody like Gavin Newsom was in charge, because at least we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. Why we can't find a single goddamn Republican out of 350 million people with a sack of balls, I can't figure it out. It's Thomas Massie, and, like, that's it.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at theolivestonestore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesStore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Final segment. I want to remind you. I get very uncomfortable. Like, I don't like bragging very much. It feels weird to, like, which is why I'm always like, InfoWars is so great. InfoWars is awesome. Cause that's not really me. That's Alex Jones. Like, I can brag about him, right? Like, that's, I'm fine with that. But at the same time, there's something I realized when Trump was first running, because he would be like, "I'm a genius. I have a high IQ. I'm very smart." And it was always like, okay, that's, you know, smart people don't have to tell you. Then I realized, no, you kind of do have to tell people, because if people aren't smart, they can't really tell. And like, it actually is effective to be like, "No, I'm very smart. I have a very high IQ." Then people will be like, oh, okay, this guy's smart, but listen to him. So I just, it's one of these things. I'm like, I really should just sort of try to brag a little bit more. I mean, I posted on X about a 10-minute selection of comments from me from October 9th, 2023. On October 9th, 2023, 2 days after October 7th, it was abundantly clear to me that this was an inflection point, that the war in the Middle East would be weaponized and utilized to eventually reach war with Iran and a total overthrow of the Iranian regime, and just seeing everything laid out perfectly. And it's like, I understand that there are other people that also have a pretty good grasp on the situation. I think our pattern, our record of accuracy, specifically when it comes to Iran, the Middle East, Israel, ultimate goal, like, I think I'm unparalleled. I don't think there's anybody that's gotten it as right as I have. Anybody. Maybe like me and Nick Fuentes, because we basically just say the same thing and believe the same stuff. That's kind of thing. I don't even like watching Nick's show because I'm just like, ugh, I said this. You know, I'm just like, well, I said this earlier. It just makes me frustrated because this stuff goes so viral all the time. It's fine. It's fine. But it's just like, okay, we know what's happening. We understand this stuff. And we're telling you it. And if people would listen to us, the world would be an entirely different place and better for everybody, by the way. Like, do you think this has gone well for Israel? Like, do you think this has been a positive couple of years for the state of Israel, or has it been a cataclysmic collapse in their support over 2 years? And was that not also an argument we were making early on, going, guys, if they want to take out Gaza, they can't do, they have to just bomb it all to smithereens. Like, it's just like, go watch anybody else's coverage from that day. Go watch anybody else's coverage from that day. And they might have known that, you know, Israel was going to attack strongly, but nobody else laid out the timeline exactly how it happened. And really, the only thing I got wrong was it's taken longer than I thought. I thought Hezbollah would have gotten involved very strongly early on. Frankly, they probably should have. I thought Iran would have gotten involved in a bigger way, in a stronger way earlier on. They probably should have. But nobody else has the record of accuracy that we have. Nobody else has been able to predict this stuff with perfect accuracy or told you about things that people are only now discovering. I guarantee, I'm probably just literally preaching to the choir here, because you've been watching us. You know all of this, obviously. But, like, now everybody knows, so maybe people... Nobody was talking about Iranian missile cities 3 years ago. Nobody was telling you that the ballistic missiles are the real concern, that it's not the nuclear weapons, it's the ballistic weapons and the ballistic missiles that Iran is stockpiling. And so it's just like, and the we have just been so right for so long. And it's like, I don't need, you know, as I said something like this on X and somebody was like, oh, this is just for your own ego. I don't have an ego about this. I honestly don't. I'm just right, and I know I'm right, and I don't care if you think I'm right or not. It doesn't affect how right I am. I'm just right. So it's like, and I was like, I'm like, oh, other people need to, but like, do people know that there are people like us out there? Do they know? Because you go around X and you just think nobody's got any idea what's going on. Everybody's learning this all of a sudden. Nobody knew that there was an elite pedophile ring that was operated out of Israel and Jeffrey Epstein was a part of. Like, nobody knew this stuff. Everybody's just figuring this out. And it's like so frustrating being like, I have been saying this for 5 freaking years. Or other things like the giant, you know, China fishing fleets. Like, I'm glad more people are pointing this stuff up now, but like, where have you been the last 5 years I've been talking about it? We have been ahead of the curve on everything. We still are years ahead of the curve on everything else. The information war is accelerating, so the sort of gap between us and the people following us is shrinking a little bit because people are catching up so rapidly. But InfoWars And, you know, I'm only saying this because, like, we've got the record. We've got, and it's not that we have anything particularly special. It's just thinking about this stuff. It's literally just taking our own observations and just me just like closing my eyes and just going, all right, where does this go from here? What are the possible outcomes of this? What are the motivations of the people involved? What are their ultimate goals? What are unexpected strategies that this could be contributing to? What future plans could this be setting the precedent for? Just thinking about that for a little bit, just putting on your thinking cap and noticing patterns and going, this pattern's going to continue. What is that going to look like? And of course, following Alex Jones since I was a little kid. And it's just baffling to me that more people can't see what has been obvious the whole time. And if you can see it, then I hope that you are doing everything you possibly can to try to wake up the people around you, understanding that yelling the truth at them is not enough, and they probably need to be talked to on their level in some regard, and they have to be empathized with, and knowing what's going on. Yeah, I mean, it is just frustrating. And the thing I put out today was, it didn't do very well because it was a reference to the classics. It was too much, but the scene in the Odyssey where, Odysseus says he's no one. And so then the Cyclops is screaming and they're going, who's attacking you? And the Cyclops is going, no one is attacking me. So Cyclops don't think he's, but that's like me. Cause I every day I see like 100 tweets of people being like, nobody is talking about this. And I'm like, I just changed my name to Nobody. I talk about all this stuff. I have known all of this stuff. Nobody knew this was happening except for me talking about this for years on end. Nobody's listening. Can you just spread the word? Can you spread the content? Can you support us for being so right about everything all of the time? Like, if there was any justice in this world, we'd be multi-billionaires, right? But apparently it doesn't matter if you're right. Doesn't matter if you're proven right over and over. Doesn't matter if you're taking on the biggest, most powerful forces that the society's ever seen and winning. Our society is set up by the evil forces, and we are constantly at a disadvantage. We're constantly trying to not just, you know, fight against impossible odds, but do it with one hand tied behind our back. And all that we ask is that you support us. All that we ask is that you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you get yourself a fantastic product. You don't even have to sacrifice. There's no sacrifice required here, right? We are going to win. We are continuing to win. We are continuing to set the standard when it comes to this type of coverage. We are continuing to tell the truth in a way and to a degree and at a volume. Nobody else can tell the truth. Nobody else matches us. Nobody else reaches the amount and the quality of people that we reach. We'll continue to do it. You don't have to help us. We'll do it. Well, it'll just be harder. Oh, that's fine. We'll do it. Okay? They can't stop us. We are not going to stop on our own volition. We can run out of money. We can want to do things and try to do things and have to shoestring it because we don't have the funds to do it in the way that we wish. But if you support us, if you contribute to this mission, which again, it's not even a sacrifice. We're not even asking you to give us anything. We're literally asking you to buy a great product that's like at a lower price. You can get it at the store. Like, it's so easy. It's so easy to support us. It's like ridiculous. Which again is another thing that sets us apart. Anybody else, they want to sell you something you don't need or some thing that doesn't even exist, right? I don't know. They're going to sell you, you know, a VPN that just like funnels your information straight to the Mossad. Like, they're going to sign you up for stuff that you don't really need or whatever else. What we sell you is tangible, is physical. You can actually feel the effects. And the products that we offer are just best-selling products that sell, you know, sell out at your local grocery. Only we have the better quality at lower prices. You're going to get it anyway. So again, it's just, if you can't support InfoWars in times like this, I don't know what hope we have. And perhaps this explains what little optimism I do still have, is that there are still enough people supporting InfoWars. There are still enough people that can understand what's going on and see through the lies and get to the truth and support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. All right, I'm done. I'm done patting myself on the back. It's just, you know, it's frustrating. It's a little frustrating. Being not just tomorrow's news today, but like 3 years from now's news today. And having to sit and wait for everybody else to catch up. And then act like they're telling you something. That's frustrating. People talking to me like I don't know. All right. You know, respect. Just in from Anthony Sabatini, an extremely disturbing bill which allows state officials to officially designate groups and political organizations of their choosing as, quote, domestic terrorists just passed the Florida House of Representatives. You or your organization will now be labeled a domestic terrorist if you, quote, pose a threat, per the statute. Ron DeSantis must veto this bill. Anthony Sabatini says, I'm currently reviewing the bill for America First retaliation lawsuit I will likely file from Florida Phoenix. Bill allowing state to designate domestic terrorist organizations passes in Florida House. This, of course, comes at the heels of and in line with the other anti-Semitism laws that are being, you know, market tested in Florida, let's just say. So do we understand what is happening right now? With everything, with Epstein, with Iran, with the death of the First Amendment and censorship and the takeover of big tech and the takeover of mainstream media and the insinuation of these anti-Semitism bills utterly gutting our First Amendment under the absurd and outrageous excuse that we have to protect freedom of religion by criminalizing dissent against a religion. Do you understand what is being built around you right now? I don't think you do. I don't think a lot of people do. Let's go to the video I just put in there, the redheaded woman. What the hell are they pushing through while we're distracted in war? This, again, keep this in mind. Keep, as you watch this, keep in mind all the other stuff we've talked about. The laws arbitrarily allowing legislatures to arbitrarily determine that you are a domestic terrorist and should be silenced. The talk from people like Caroline Leavitt about our values as Americans and that you don't belong in our country if you don't support Israel to the death. Keep all of this in mind and understand that these things happening in parallel and in conjunction and in coincidence with each other is not a coincidence, and that you should never ascribe to accident what is clearly a malicious and highly developed plan. Okay, let's watch.
Trump just announced that this war with Iran is going to last about 4 weeks, and that's a very specific amount of time, so I want to talk about what I think he's covering for. This weekend, the largest media merger in American history closed, so now one family is about to control CNN, HBO, CBS, Warner Brothers, Paramount Pictures, all running on Oracle's infrastructure. And that same family also happens to own Oracle's infrastructure. And it just so happens that Oracle, within the last 2 weeks, has won brand new contracts to host Medicare and Medicaid data for over 150 million Americans and to run Air Force operations using AI. That's right. Who needs separation between church and state when you can have AI run across all of those contracts? Oh, and see if you can find anything wrong with how this is being paid for, because Larry Ellison is personally guaranteeing $44.6 million of the $6 billion merger by using his Oracle stocks as collateral. And that stock price depends on Oracle's federal contracts, you know, the ones that your tax dollars pay for. So the government pays Oracle, and then that revenue supports Oracle's stock, and then Ellison pledges that stock to finance his son's purchase of the largest media company in American history, and then Oracle becomes the infrastructure beneath that company, so Oracle becomes the infrastructure, the collateral, and the beneficiary on every side of the same transaction? So you mean to tell me that public money flows into Oracle and then the Ellison media empire pops out the other end? Oh, and then in the merger filings, Oracle is listed as a neutral third-party vendor? I'm sorry, is the neutrality in the room with us? Oh, but don't worry, you say, because another couple billion dollars of this merger is coming from Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the same governments we're currently at war alongside, in Iran. Right. So I spent this last weekend writing a brief that specifically calls on Congress to require a conflict of interest review before this merger closes, demand data firewall protections between Oracle's government contracts and the media infrastructure it's now holding, and to treat Oracle exactly as it is in this merger, not a third-party vendor, but as the financial backbone of the entire transaction. The Warner Brothers shareholder vote is on March 20th. Congress needs to see this policy brief before it happens, so please feel free to read the whole thing. It's on my Substack, available for free. The link's in my bio. Just share it, please. But just to be clear, I'm not saying that this entire war exists only because of all of this going on, okay? But what I am saying is that 4 weeks is a very convenient amount of time to let a lot of things close. So I'll be watching for every government filing, every federal contract, every regulatory document related to this merger. And if anything moves while everyone's watching Tehran, you'll hear it here first. So follow along if any of this matters to you.
I have spent time to the people who govern the state of Israel. I feel a deep emotional connection to the state of Israel and the Israeli people. You know, after Silicon Valley, there's an area, Herzliya is probably got more startups than any other place other than Silicon Valley in Northern California. So we've actually acquired a number of Israeli companies. We have two CEOs at Oracle. One's name is Safra Katz, and she was born in Israel. So, again, we love the country of Israel, and we'll do everything we can to support the country of Israel.
Recently hear that many people criticizing Israel, especially after the Gaza operation. How do you feel as someone just saying we love Israel so much?
Well, again, it's a difficult situation, isn't it? To conduct military operations around civilians is very difficult. And, of course, there were tragedies, and the civilians were hurt. That's a terrible thing. But one thing we know for certain, that the Israeli army did everything they could to minimize civilian casualties. And in that regard, they've done a much better job than a lot of other armies all over the world throughout history.
So that's Larry Ellison, Israel first, Oracle operative / Protocol of the Elders of Zion operative, lying about Israel, lying about them killing innocent people, and talking about how he loves them so much, wants to do anything for them, while he is systematically taking over / being given monopolistic control over all media in this country. Wonderful. We should also probably remind people, it's in the Eighth Front War, but we've played the video a lot on this show and others, of Larry Ellison talking to Tony Blair, who of course is on the Board of Peace, and there's behind the scenes, it was him and Marco Rubio that were being chosen to be the spokespeople for the Zionist shadow global government cabal. And he's talking to him, and he's saying, in order for AI to be effective, we have to consolidate all data into a singular AI database, then run AI to determine what inputs would be most effective in controlling the world population. We'll have total surveillance all the time. So again, this is all like happening in line, and they're telling you what they're doing. So you don't even need to listen to me speculate about it. They're telling you what they're doing. They're like, we are building an AI prison where we are going to have dictatorial power over the thoughts in your head. And we're going to be scanning your face to, interpret your feelings. And if you oppose us, you are an existential enemy and you will be eradicated like Amalek. Like, why are we letting them say this to us? It's insane. It's literally insane. Let's go to clip 30 here. This is Mike Johnson, which, again, it's like, does he know the situation that exists right now? Because he's not exactly making the point that he thinks he is. Clip 30.
They have been, and they say the quiet parts out loud. They wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and they'd like to take us out as well. We're the great Satan in their analogy and their misguided religion, and there was no way to appease them. And
We're the great Satan and their misguided religion. We're at war with this radical, religious sect that is dictating their behavior on their weird extremist interpretation of, no, that's Israel. No, you're talking about Israel. They keep talking about Purim like a story from the Bible 2,000 years ago in which the Israelis slaughtered a bunch of Persians for no reason, by the way. That's what the story's about. The story of Purim is like the Israelis win. They like get the bad king guy, and then they just kill 75,000 Persians who are their prisoners and are not a threat. We are not at war. I mean, again, and this is also ridiculous. It's also utterly ridiculous. But let's, you know, go ahead and go to clip number five here. Here's a post from the official IDFX account earlier today. You tell me who's being guided by a 2,000-year-old religious extremism. Let's watch.
Purim, a story of surviving in the face of an enemy that seeks your destruction. Sound familiar? For decades, the Iranian regime has openly called for the destruction of Israel. Ballistic missiles, advanced weapons programs, proxy terrorist groups positioned across the region. At the head of this campaign was Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader who for more than three decades advanced Iran's terrorist aims. He built Iran's ballistic missile program, pushed nuclear weaponization, and funded terror organizations across the Middle East with a defining objective: destroy the state of Israel. Khamenei has now been eliminated, along with other senior leaders. His reign of terror is finally over. This Purim, we are operating against today's threat that targets our safety and survival.
So again, you know, it's just
through Operation Roaring
like,
Lion, the IDF.
This Purim, we are again going after Amalek, and it's just like, okay, yeah, you are religious extremists. You are the great Satan. I see it now. I recognize now what the hell they're talking about. You psychos. Every man, woman, child, and livestock must all be slaughtered. You know, meanwhile, let's go to clip number six here. This is the Iranian deputy foreign minister. Let's watch.
What is the current position of your government on resuming any sort of negotiations with the United States? Have you reached out through intermediaries to ask to resume talks?
Do you think any Iranian with common sense would be really in a position to reach out to the United States under these circumstances? We were negotiating with the United States. In just 9 months, in the course of less than 1 year, we were betrayed. Diplomacy was betrayed. We were negotiating with the U.S. negotiators. In June, we were supposed to meet for the sixth round in Muscat. And just 2 days before that, the United States and Israel attacked Iran. Right now, we negotiated in all good faith, in all seriousness, in Geneva. And please, I refer you to the words of Omani foreign minister. He is a neutral, impartial mediator. He said that we had significant progress. And then he said, he suggested to both delegations that let's talk in Vienna on technical details of a possible deal. And we both agreed. And again, on 28 February, just one day after that, the American and Israelis attacked Iran.
So again, this is the thing. It is complete inversion. The Israelis are the radical, extremist, religiously motivated psychopaths desperate to cause terror to all of their neighbors. The Iranians are actually trying to deal with us in good faith. And they have everybody in America believing the exact opposite. Enough of the religious extremism. We must expel Israeli influence.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandersport.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandersport.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.